Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We're streaming live on the free Odyssey app. You can take us on the go and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. It's Football Friday. We got Scott Abraham joining us at 7 from ABC7. Get some Commanders insight. What's going on with Brian Robinson, if he's healthy enough to play on Sunday? Daryl Reuter covers the Browns for 92.3. The Fan in Cleveland joins us at 8:25. But as he does every Friday at this time, we'll talk to John Feinstein, best-selling author, Washington Post columnist. He's brought to you by Golfdom, where they can now custom fit you for the new GT Metals from Titleist or the new Apex Irons from Callaway. Visit them in Tysons, Rockville, or Annapolis to get your game ready for fall golf. Golfdom by Worldwide Golf. Get there. Hey, John.
Good morning, and I'm here for the baseball report.
Yes.
Yes, you are.
That's a big one. Did you watch the entire game?
No, I was actually at a dinner party, believe it or not, and I didn't get to the game till the sixth inning. But the ninth inning was the whole game.
I know.
I was stunned. I mean, I was stunned. I was just watching, saying, okay, they're going to lose 2-0, and this is what the Mets do, and the Brewers are a good team. And then all of a sudden, you know, they get two men on base, and Alonso, who hasn't had a hit since July, it feels like, hits it out, and there you go. They turn around and win the thing 4-2. I was just I don't get giddy very much at this point in my life, but I was giddy.
So, John, during the dinner party portion of the evening, how many times did you check your phone? Did you check in on the game at all, or were you just okay?
No, they understood.
Yeah, yeah.
Because when the dinner party was scheduled like a month or so ago, none of in fact, the woman who was hosting the dinner asked me if it would be a problem that it was Rosh Hashanah, and I said no, not at all. But the Mets playing the Brewers in Game 3 was a little bit of a problem, but we got through it.
So yeah, this is in your new neighborhood?
Yes, yes, actually.
Look at you making friends, circulating.
Yes. The party was thrown by Griff and Julie Aldridge. Griff is the basketball coach at Longwood.
Okay. Right. We've had him on the show before.
Yep.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
Yeah.
And it was kind of a welcome party for
that's
me.
Good.
Yeah, it was really nice. Everybody I've met here has been really, really nice. So it was fun. And I told my favorite Jewish story, because I'm not a practicing Jew. I'm a heritage Jew. But when I was married to Mary, my first wife, and Danny was about 4 years old, Mary, who's Catholic, insisted that we celebrate both holidays at Christmas. I grew up with a Christmas tree.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were lighting candles one night for Hanukkah. And Mary turned to Danny, who was, I think, 4, and said, Danny, would you like to say a Hanukkah prayer? And Danny said, yeah, I'd really like to do that. And she said, well, go ahead. So he shut his eyes and he said, oh, God, thank you for inventing Christmas.
That's a good one. Solid for a 4-year-old, especially.
Yeah,
well done.
That's my favorite Hanukkah prayer to this day.
John, we were talking about the baseball game top segment. And Devin Williams, the closer for the Brewers, who's their best, you know, he's their best closer. He's their best reliever. Had gone like 13 consecutive save opportunities without giving up a run.
Yeah, I know.
And that's incredible.
I was not encouraged when the ninth inning started.
Yeah.
For that reason, because of Mets history. But that's the thing about postseason baseball. I mean, stuff happens.
It does.
I mean, look at the Orioles and the Royals. The Orioles scored one run in 2 games. And I feel bad for them because they've been a very good team the last 2 years. And still haven't won a playoff game, much less a playoff series. So, yeah, you're right. And that's why when I hear all these analytics people talking about this number, that number, I say, play baseball in every sport. Play football, whatever it is, and see what happens. Don't talk to me about analytics, because if there's one thing Mike Wilbon and I agree on, it's how overrated analytics are.
How are you feeling about the Phillies series? I was looking up the regular season series. I think Phillies won 7 out of the 13, but Zach Wheeler goes Saturday night tomorrow in game 1, and he's obviously really, really good.
Really good ex-Met.
Yep.
But, you know, the Phillies should be favored. They've been sort of on a mission this year since they lost to the Diamondbacks in the LCS last year.
Right.
But, you know, the Mets are having one of those years. They've had 43 comeback wins. Mm. 43.
That seems insane.
That is insane.
I mean, that's basically half of their wins.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of them were like last night where they came from behind late. It wasn't like, you know, technically you fall behind 1-0 in the first inning and then you come back and win. It's a comeback win. But there have been some real comeback wins. And I don't think they're intimidated by the Phillies. Now, Wheeler's really good, obviously. But I don't think they're intimidated. I think they have a puncher's chance.
Hey, John, shifting over to college football, there's a really good story brewing in Annapolis. Yep. I mean, look, Navy.
I wrote a column about it this week.
I mean, Navy, they've
Horvath is good.
They put up 49, 38, 56, and 41. And Horvath, I think, has seven passing touchdowns, which that might be an entire season for passing touchdowns for Navy 10 years ago, and 8 rushing touchdowns.
Kid's good.
Yeah.
That's remarkable what they're doing.
He's averaging 10 yards a carry.
Yeah, against Memphis, which came in ranked 23rd in the country, he had 12 carries for 211 yards. Yeah. Think about that.
I know, it's unbelievable. Absurd. I mean, what was Memphis
doing?
Yeah.
And, you know, he's easily the best quarterback they've had since Malcolm Perry in 2019, which is the last time they had a good season. They were 11-2 that year and won the CIC. Since then, the next 4 years, they were 16-30. And the biggest problem was the quarterback position. They couldn't find, you know, for years they had good quarterbacks who could mostly run but could pass just enough. Now, your point about Horvath is really important because he can really throw the ball.
Yep.
It was 14-3 last week against UAB with like 20 seconds left. And, you know, rather than run out the clock, They ran a pass play. They sent a guy deep, Mason Kent, and Horvath put the ball right on the money. I mean, hit him in stride. In the old days, I can't tell you how many times I've seen guys open like that because, you know, teams will put 8 in the box against Navy and somebody will get open deep and the ball will be underthrown, overthrown, won't get there. He put it right on the money. I mean, couldn't have thrown it any better.
I mean, they're scoring one less point per game than Alabama.
Yeah, no, they're averaging, I think, 46 points
per game.
Well, and Air Force is terrible. They've only scored 19, 7, and 3 in the last 3 games.
Right.
That's going to be a win for Navy.
Lost to a winless Wyoming team on Saturday.
Correct.
And that kind of stuff's unheard of at Air Force. I mean, Air Force, Troy Calhoun's been the coach for 17 years. He's averaged almost 9 wins a year. Mm. And they're always good. And if you're Navy, you got to go into that game expecting you're going to get Air Force's best shot because they're not going to win the conference. They're going to struggle to get to bowl eligibility. They're 1-3. So the only thing left for them really is the Commander-in-Chief's trophy. Mm-hmm. And that's a big deal if you win it at Army, Navy, or Air Force. And they can, you know, sort of turn their season around with a win. And they're always tough at home. Navy hasn't won there since 2012. But you're right. Navy's the better team,
yes,
which is rare for me to say in a Navy Air Force matchup. But that doesn't mean you win. You got to go in and win and do your job on the road. And so far, they've been great. And Horvath has been the biggest difference between the last 4 years and this year.
John, I got to ask you about the Commanders, 3-1, ridiculous start. I mean, Jaden's playing at a level that, you know, even his biggest supporters, I think, have to be a little surprised.
Yeah.
So impressive, his poise, everything. They still have some holes. The defense is clear they can't stop the run. Offensive line, last week, graded number one in the league by some analysts.
33rd team.
Yeah, so what is your take? Is this for real, or is it still too early to tell?
Well, I thought before the season, I think I told you guys that I thought Jaden Daniels was the real deal. And I heard a stat this week that I hadn't realized. He played 55 college football games. And obviously the NFL is different than college football, but he's played a lot of high-pressure games. He's used to having to do things in the pocket. He can run. I think this is for real, and especially in the NFC East where the Cowboys look pretty terrible. The Eagles – I'm still not sold on, and the Giants are awful. So I think there's a good chance for them to win the division. I didn't say that before the season. I thought they could contend. I thought there were question marks about Dallas and Philly. The question marks have gotten larger, and in contrast, the Commanders have answered a lot of questions, and it's still a long way to go. They should beat the Browns. I mean, the Browns are awful.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to 4-1, and with a quarterback who's what's he completing, 80% of his passes?
Yes. Yep.
Some stupid number like that?
Him, he's literally setting records.
Yeah, well, I don't. Again, he's just good. He's really good, and he doesn't. You know, it's interesting because I was talking this week to Brian Newberry about Blake Horvath, and I said, "Did you expect him to be this good this fast?" And he said, "No." He said, "Because when he did play last year, he was his words a nervous Nelly on the field." And he said, "Now he's completely calm."
Mm-hmm.
Well, Jaden Daniels looks completely calm to me. I don't see any nerves in him, and that, you know, he's 23 years old. He's more mature than a lot of quarterbacks who come into the league. And now they have not played a very difficult schedule so far. But you know, I thought they'd go into Seattle and win. I didn't think they'd win 42-14.
Right.
Well, like you said, they haven't played a tough schedule, and it's impossible to continue on 80% completion.
Yeah, that's not going to continue.
And nobody does that.
Right. So
and they're not going to go games without punting.
I mean, Deshaun Watson's obviously not the Deshaun Watson of, you know, 5 years ago in Houston when he was really good. But he's a different player physically and mentally.
For all his problems, right?
Yeah, but I think Cleveland's defense will pose a little bit of a threat. And I don't think that Washington's going to roll up 40 points. I'm not saying they're not going to win. I think they will win, but I think it's going to be a tougher matchup.
Yeah. Well, but again, we didn't expect them to roll up 40 points in Seattle. Seattle's a pretty good team, and they just kicked their butt, you know.
No, not Seattle. Arizona.
You mean Arizona?
Arizona. I'm sorry. My bad. Yeah.
Right.
Arizona has played reasonably well going in there. I don't know why I thought it was Seattle in my brain. Mm. But Seattle is a good team, by the way. But, you know, they kicked their butt, fell behind 7-0, and then just rolled.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with you, Jason, that the Browns won't roll over because they have a decent defense. Not decent defense, a good defense. But I still expect the Commanders to win. I really think they're going to be 4-1.
What, John, I'm wondering, like a journalist perspective, what do you make of this Christine Brennan WNBA beef going on right now?
Well, it's a bad question to ask me because, you know, Brennan and I don't get along. And she loves to do things to call attention to herself. That's one of her strengths. That being said, the notion of taking away her credential is ridiculous. I mean, you know, if you don't like one of the things people forget, if you don't like a question, you don't have to answer it.
Yeah.
You can just say, I don't want to answer that question. No comment, whatever, you know, or give some kind of pristine answer. No pun intended there. But you know, taking that shows you that the WNBA still has a ways to go to be a full fledged, you know, professional league like the NBA. I mean, you think David Stern would allow something like this? Are you kidding me? So my answer is it's typical Christine to call attention to herself, but on the other
hand, when's the last time you spoke with Christine?
Oh God!
Years,
years. Oh yeah, years,
okay.
Years and years. we would pass in the hallway at the Masters. Hello, hello.
Okay.
Was there one incident that broke you guys?
Well, there was one. Yes, but there were a series of incidents over the years. But there was one that sort of put an end to it for me. And it had to do with National Public Radio when we were both working there. And you know, she basically tried to put a knife in my back with the bosses, and
oof.
I don't forgive things like that.
Oof.
Or as Red Auerbach would say, I might forgive, but I don't forget.
Right. You know what? You can hold a grudge.
Yeah, yeah.
I like that, John. I like that about you.
I'd ask you more about that story, but it sounds like it would take for a while to explain.
It would take a while, yeah. And it's inside baseball. It's not the kind of thing that your listeners should have to listen to.
Oh, I got you.
They have better things to do with their day.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. if you've persevered through. You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, John. We'll go out on that high note.
Let's talk about the fact that hockey season starts next week.
Soon.
I mean, right around the corner. I just can't believe it.
Beautiful. And just break up the Mets.
That's right. Wow. Break up the Mets. We'll see what happens against Philly.
Yeah, well, I'm thrilled that they – this week was one of the greatest weeks in Mets history. They had to win a game in Atlanta in that doubleheader to get into the playoffs. And then they, you know, blew a lead in game two where they were behind in the ninth inning of game three and they somehow found a way to win. And I hope that this makes it harder for them to not re-sign Alonso. They need Alonso. He's the heart and soul of the team. Lindor had a great year. Lindor was the MVP. But they need Pete Alonso.
All right, John. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, John. Right, appreciate it.
Have a good weekend. You go too. Mids.
All right.
Best-selling author, Washington Post columnist John Feinstein, brought to you by Golfdom, where they can custom fit your new GT medals from Titleist or the new Apex irons from Callaway today. Visit them in Tysons, Rockville, or Annapolis to get your game ready for fall golf. Golfdom by Worldwide Golf. Get there. It is a Football Friday on the Fan. Coming up next, we'll get the Cleveland perspective from Daryl Ryder, covers the Browns for 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. That's here on the Junkies.